Mr. Cardinal?
Here.
Mrs. Doss?
Here.
Ms. Kosika?
Here.
Mr. Humphrey?
Here.
Mr. Ramos?
Here.
Okay, let's please stand for the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we know that Mary Jo is going to be out and Tricia just couldn't make it tonight. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay, let's see, the first item, we can approve this item. I need a motion to approve the August 15, 2022 minutes.
So moved, Humphrey.
Mr. Humphrey makes the motion. Do I have a second?
I wasn't here for August, so I can't.
No second?
I'm not going to have a quorum.
No.
Don't have it. Okay.
I was here. I'm sorry.
Oh, there's the four of you. Yes, there's the four of you.
Second.
Ms. Kosika, seconds. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstained.
Abstained.
Okay. Item E, we cannot approve that, so we'll table that for next month. Okay. We have some guests this evening. So, Retrie, you're on.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do it. Good evening. Is this on? Oh, I don't think it is. Or I can just talk, would you rather? Testing. Oh, there we go. Well, good evening, everyone. It's nice to see everyone's smiling faces tonight. It's been about 3 months, just over, since we were last out here explaining what we were going to do. So now we're going to talk about what we did. And Joe passed out some materials, so we'll just kind of go through those. But certainly, if you have questions, feel free to interrupt as we go throughout. It might be easier while it's on your mind, or we can wait till the end. So, with that, the bigger packet, the landscape version, I guess, we'll start with. So, there on page one, just a brief reminder of who we are. I know it's only been 3 months, but it's also been 3 months, so a lot happens in 3 months. So we're here, like I said, in late June, and just as a refresher, this is all that we do. What do I mean by that? All Retrie does is invest Ohio public funds. So we live and breathe Ohio Revised Code investments. As exciting as that is, and Joe's going to talk about that a little bit, but it's actually been pretty exciting. So we'll get into that in a minute. The next page there is just on page two, is a brief summary of how we came to be. Again, we started, our partnership began in June. The portfolio actually funded the first part of July. And just as a reminder, that U.S. Bank serves as the third-party custodian. So Retrie does not actually hold the funds, and that's good from a risk standpoint for you all. There's another, I kind of picture a triangle where we're a point, U.S. Bank as a custodian is a point, and the library is the third point of the triangle. Page three is, again, a reminder of there's only 7 exciting options that Ohio Revised Code allows public funds in our state to invest in. So they're listed here just to give you an idea. And we'll talk a minute about how we've taken advantage of most of these options. But just a refresher, because we get a lot of questions sometimes. Why aren't you investing in this or that? Well, here's why. This is the very short list of what we are even allowed to do per your investment policy as well as code. So with that, I'll let Joe kind of talk about what we have seen in the economy over the last few months, and then we'll talk about the portfolio.
Thank you, Jennifer. So wanted to first start with an economic update and then go into how interest rates have changed, and they've changed drastically, actually, even over these last 3 months, so since we saw you all last. But I've been doing a lot of these talks recently, so it's come from the top of the head. But when we look at the economy, we're looking at, from the top of a big overview point here, is what's going on with growth here in the United States, what's the inflation environment like, what's the employment landscape like. How does that translate to the grander economy around the world? And then eventually, how does it swing back into the rates that we all face? And then especially investing under a higher revised code in the rates that we see. So on the growth portion here, we're looking at how the U.S. economy is doing. The first two quarters of the year, we actually experienced negative growth in the U.S., a sign that we're either in a recession, heading into a recession, or at the very least, some sort of slowdown. And we're starting to kind of see that peak into a little bit of what the U.S. consumer is doing. We're peeling back a little bit on spending. And even there, with major retailers and their earnings calls recently, that painted a little bit of a grim picture on how we're going to head into the holiday season and how we as consumers will peel back. That will play into slower growth as well. The inflation environment kind of piggybacks off of that, right? So we can't continue to keep going deeper and deeper into our pockets. Eventually, we as consumers peel back on our spending. And that's because we continue to see elevated inflation levels. We're not at the peak of where we were over the summer, but 8% year over year inflation is not sustainable for us as consumers. And that's also playing into interest rates as well. The job landscape, what has been historically good numbers, good job growth, about 200,000, 300,000 jobs a month. Actually, in this part of where we are in the interest rate cycle and the economy is counterproductive. It's actually bad news that we're seeing so much job growth. The whole goal of fighting inflation and trying to slow the U.S. economy down by raising interest rates, by adding more jobs is a bit counterproductive. So what we're going to see potentially here is some pullback on job growth or jobs being taken off the table, and then that could eventually lead into jobs being removed completely from the economy. So we'll see potentially a higher unemployment rate from these Federal Reserve moves.
Isn't it though, it's very interesting, there's so many so many companies that are looking for help.
Yeah.
And they can't get it.
Right.
They can't get it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jobs out there. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, this unemployment rate, you know, they say, oh, it's nice and low. Well, yeah. The people have quit looking for whatever reason.
Right.
But I don't know how they're surviving.
Yeah.
But it just blows me away.
Yeah, so some interesting points there. Right now there are about 10.1 million job openings. And there's about 5.5 million or so unemployed people, and they define unemployed of those who are not working but actively seeking employment. So it's a little bit of a statistical play on numbers, but there are those who are completely removed from the workforce and they're not counted in that number. So even if those who are looking for employment fill all those jobs, there's still more jobs available. It's been that way since the early part of this
right.
year, actually.
Right.
And that's not common. So what actually we saw in the last couple of months is employers took 1.1 million jobs completely off the table in a one-month time frame. And the only time that we actually saw that in the last two decades happened last in April of 2020. So that was one statistic that we're kind of following to see how many more jobs employers are going to be pulling off the table, because right now we're heading into a space in the employment landscape where actually there's hiring freezes going into place, and that's generally the first step before they remove employed jobs right now. Yes, I know it's a vicious cycle, and it definitely comes into play here in this economy. And globally, we here in the U.S. Are not the only ones that face these kinds of issues. Globally, inflation is rising, and then also central banks around the world are increasing their central bank rate. So if you move to the next page where we kind of talk about interest rates, you'll see kind of how far we've come. Last time we were here in June, we were talking about more of the upper 2% or like low 3, mid 3% rates, and we're now well into the 4s on rates that we see today. Very different than this time last year. Last year, you almost didn't get a 1 in front of the decimal place there. So now we're actually seeing these 4% rates, even at you know, 6-month rate here. That's actually changed since the end of September. It just depends on the day. Earlier this morning, you could have gotten a 2-year U.S. Treasury at a 4.5%. As I walked in here, I refreshed the page. That same U.S. Treasury is 4.2%. That's a 30 basis point or 0.30% move in one day. And we call that volatility, right? So there's a lot of fluctuation in the market right now.
Those are still good enough to have those threes and fours in front of that decimal.
Oh, yeah.
Again, this is all we do, and it's been quite some time since.
Since before the 08-09 crisis, the last time you kind of saw rates in the 4% range.
Well, look at the S&P down 23% to 25%. You guys are heroes.
Yeah. Well, we're heroes if you have cash.
Right? Yeah, right.
If you invested your funds
right.
last year or the year before, which a lot of people, you know, if you were investing your cash, you know, you're looking at a low rate of return right now, and it just kind of takes some time for those investments to turn over. You all are not in that camp. So we'll get to that in a second. But right now, where we are in the economy and where we've been even since June, just to give you a little flavor, is since we were here last, the Federal Reserve, who controls short-term interest rates, has risen that rate by 1.5%. Which is, it's not unprecedented. This is the last time we saw rates move this quickly. It was actually in the 80s. We're back to that point already. I did not live through those times, so I can only read about them. But, you know, those were different times. Rates shot up to 20% to fight, you know, high inflation. And this is what the Federal Reserve, the best tool to fight high inflation is their overnight interest rate that they control. So their whole goal with doing this is trying to choke off growth to also then choke off inflation, and they're going to continue to do that until they can get a handle, and they've said that quite frankly. So as they do that, short-term rates will continue to rise. They expect maybe by the end of the year that we're probably at a 4.5% overnight rate on interest rates, and that will continue to kind of play into the portfolio over time. So if you flip the page here,
you're on page 6.
This is kind of where we were at the end of September, so page 6 gives you some numbers about what has happened since we've been investing in these funds. So current book value just over $5.1 million. Our average interest rate held in the portfolio is 3.3%, and the average maturity on any one investment in the portfolio is about 1.5 years. Just to give you an idea of how that translates into interest income is next year we anticipate off this portfolio to earn about $180,000, which I know for the library, this idea is very new of investing in a portfolio like this. You all in the past have been experiencing like that overnight rate, which has been well below 1% for many, many years. And in this type of portfolio, we're locking in some of these rates. So these rates will continue when/if interest rates fall sometime in the future. These rates will remain elevated because we've purchased them outright and we hold them for a longer period of time than an overnight type of security. The maturity distribution is also important to note. This is where you kind of see that 1.5 year average maturity. So between basically the one and a half years, the whole portfolio will turn over. So as securities mature, we're reinvesting into now this higher interest rate environment. How all of that plays out as far as what it looks like, there's an asset allocation here that's a little bit easier to read than on the statement. But we've locked in about half the portfolio, kind of some short-term CDs. And then between the U.S. Treasury bills and commercial paper type of assets, those mature all less than 1 year. And then additionally, we have some U.S. Treasury notes sprinkled in there as well. So over the last 3 months, we've actually been able to invest at a higher interest rate as rates climbed over that period that we were investing those. I know when we were in here last, we were talking more about the 3% average interest rate. So we did a little bit better as interest rates were rising. And then it's good that the average maturity on those securities is lower, so we can reinvest in this higher interest rate environment, which would eventually boost income.
And then if you want to move to the other handout, the portrait version, for you to see what we provide her. So this is the statement as of September 3rd, so matching everything that Joe just talked about. So she is going to receive this on the first business day through a secure link. Mara's going to receive this on the first business day, the morning of, with a secure link, which has information. And really what she's looking for is that upper left-hand box that says monthly cash flow activity. So that's your cost basis accounting. So I believe, if you recall when we were here a few months ago, we were talking about, you know, we do the heavy lifting with the portfolio accounting. That's what this box is. So it doesn't look like much, right, on a statement snapshot, but this is, we're daily, reconciling daily back to US Bank, that third party custodian, and so that all she needs is a couple line items and she can book for the month and move on. So this is cost accounting. So the rest of the information is there, you know, to be helpful, but really what she needs for the library's books is that first, the upper left-hand box there. And then on pages 2 and 3 is a listing of each of those holdings. So as Joe talked about, you know, we are showing you cumulatively where the overall average yield and the overall average weighted maturity for each of these holdings is 3.3% and about a year and a half. But this shows you, you know, you have actual holdings and what each of those look like in terms of their description and cost and so on. So we thought she thought would be helpful for you to see what she received.
You look like you were going to ask a question.
You set targets for the CDs when you go out and you start shopping for CDs. What's your target right now as far as?
Can you elaborate what?
Well, I had a guy way back when.
Okay.
We put $4 million in CDs. He wanted to get out of the market, $4 million in CDs. And, you know, he said, okay, I want maturity of X and so on and so forth. So we had a CD desk, and we just scoured the country for these things. And then you get to the point where, my gosh, they aren't out there as per. So do you run into that at all?
As far as, like, the availability of them?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It depends, again, on the market environment. So when we were actually investing these funds over the summer, there wasn't a large appetite by a lot of banks to issue CDs because these are brokered deposits.
Right.
And then so they would hold these deposits over, you know, X amount of time. And it kind of ebbs and flows, but right now, because of where short-term rates are, it's not something that I was going to get into, but short-term rates potentially could be higher than longer-term rates. So what you might see is banks are going to come back to the market and issue more CDs because they can have a lower cost of capital. So for them, the interest rate that they provide us, the investor. So we are starting to see that come back to the market, more issuance on the CD side. And why would we purchase those maybe over a U.S. Treasury is because it offers a little bit more yield purchasing a certificate of deposit than a U.S. Treasury bond. It really depends as well is are they issuing from 0 days to 5 years or are they only looking for a certain maturity spectrum? And we work through a whole list of brokers. They generally all offer the same deals, right? Banks are going to work with multiple brokers. But yeah, we look at this stuff every single day. It ebbs and flows.
And now because of FDIC limits, if we, for example, we are FDIC limit of $250,000 per bank to have the FDIC insurance, and so we are maxed out on quite a few of the more popular or more readily available banks that we're going to see in the market. So while we might see a Discover Bank this week and it might be really competitive, we already own that bank name, and so we would be precluded from purchasing more of it until this one matured. So I think I'm not going to say we wouldn't buy more, but we definitely have a nice, with about half the portfolio invested in CDs, I don't know that we would be having a lot more.
Right,
than
probably
that.
Right now.
Yeah. And then in terms of maturity, yeah, it just depends. But it's probably going to be somewhere between 2 and 3 years that makes sense for CDs right now.
This client thing hit $4 million. And it was when FDIC rates were $100,000. He said, I want to put all my money in one CD I saw at my bank. I said, can't do it. He said, well, you know, the insurance, I'm going to get insurance. Can't do it.
You'll get $100,000, I'm sure.
That's exactly right. I said,
that's a lot of bangs, too. You got $1 million.
We have to go out and get 40 CDs.
Right, yeah.
And he about died.
Yeah.
But I mean, we'd have to scour the country to get him, to meet his criteria. And you know, those are the days.
Yeah, so definitely I'm seeing here, you know, a lot of our, you know, more common bank issuers that we buy for a lot of our clients.
Right.
So it's good, but yeah, kind of once that slot is filled, so to speak, we're, I would say stuck with it, but we are stuck with it until it matures. But
right.
In this case, they're still pretty competitive rates.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Of course.
Do you mind if I ask you a question? What is the difference between the ending book value and the total portfolio value?
You're looking at the statement.
Mm-hmm.
So ending book value and
the 5,000,148 versus the total portfolio is 5,000,104.
Okay. So ending book value is your cost basis accounting. It's the library's kind of skin in the game, if you will. That's the monies that you have, and we're tracking that daily. The total portfolio, that box is market value, which the best analogy I'll make is like your house appraisal. So you could get your house appraised today for, you know, $250,000. Whether or not you can get $250,000 remains to be seen, because there's so many. It's a snapshot one day in time when the real estate appraiser decides that's what they think your house is worth, right? But there's a lot of variables. It's similar here. This is a snapshot as of September 30th that our pricing service said this portfolio is worth that amount of money. If we actually went and liquidated every single security, we might get more, we might get less. It's already, you know, we're almost three weeks past that day. So as the market continues to move, it's simply an indication. But as long as we are, you know, you're sticking to cost basis accounting and we're holding a maturity, you would continue to look at the upper left hand box.
And if there was losses, how would that be shown in the cash flow activity?
The only way we would have losses is if we sold before maturity and took a loss. If that was the case for some reason, like some crazy reason, you needed money and we didn't know, and we had to raise cash and unexpectedly and we couldn't time it well, it would show up under realized gains and losses in that that first box. Yeah, but we don't anticipate. People don't like to take losses. We don't like to take losses. So generally. And that's why we want to have conversations with all of you and with Maura to make sure we have funds that you're not going to need, because I don't know what tomorrow brings. COVID, I think, taught us a hard lesson in that you don't know what the next day brings. And so we are using the information that we have in front of us today to do the best investing we can do, but I can't predict what tomorrow brings. So we want to make sure we don't have to sell into a situation that, you know, we don't want to have to sell into. Other questions on the statement?
We had some big contributions there in that time frame, 12 cents per year.
Oh.
Yeah, so that actually...
Oh, yeah, that is...
Yeah, that was... these funds came over from the Fifth Third account, so it was accrued interest that takes a while to come over.
Like, what's the point
of
sending 12 cents? But hopefully, you know...
So for us in our accounting system,
we account for every penny, as you can see, even if there's 12 of them. That's unusual, obviously.
Versus 13.
Well, she did call me. She's like, "How do I book this?" I was like, "Well, this is what happened."
Yeah.
And so. So just kind of some closing thoughts, and then we can certainly answer any more questions. Where do we go from here? So how do we invest this portfolio going into the future, knowing that interest rates are going to be rising through at least the end of the year, especially in the very, very short term maturity spectrum, that 1 to 2 year range, and this 40-year inflation high that we're seeing. We anticipate to reinvest back into this short term maturity range, so probably more of the securities of less than 1 year until we kind of know a little bit more. And I'll sit here and I'll tell you this now, and if something changes tomorrow, my idea will change as well. But right now, that's kind of our thought process. And then as we move into the end of the year, if things start to change a little bit, and maybe interest rates need to be cut, if we're maybe slowing down too much or heading into a recession, we would look to lock in rates, more rates at that point. Don't think we're there yet, but we would be ready when that time comes. So Maura also wanted me to mention, we have begun to talk about some cash flows, about some of the other funds in the library, maybe where those best placed, very initial conversations between Park and Star Ohio, and investing. And so we plan to kind of put our heads together on looking at where are the funds best placed for the library, you know, to get as much interest as possible, but also make sure these funds are safe and then liquid. So, you know, if you need these funds back, we know that we can provide them. So that's all I have. Questions? Judy, it looks like you have a question for me.
I don't know. I've been following
okay.
The Fox Business Channel and whatnot, and I knew where we were at.
Yeah, yeah.
We were sort of expected, and, you know, everyone's kind of looking for November 9th to see where we're at.
Yeah, yeah.
And
things could change.
And
yeah,
where we're going to
absolutely.
Go and whatnot. Yeah.
Call that political risk, right?
And it seems to me that 0.75 is their favorite number now, unless it's one. So,
yep.
You know.
Yeah.
Historically, that's not been the case.
Yeah.
We're a little like, again?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
One more time?
Yeah,
yeah, this is the fastest pace of Fed rate hike cycle since 1983. And actually, to your point, they are raising rates by 0.75. Previous to this rate hike cycle, they only did that one time. That was 1994 was the last time that they did that. And now, they're on a pace to do it four times in a row within a seven-month time frame, which
is... Yeah, they're looking for a winner here, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't mean winter.
Yes, yes. So...
You know, you mentioned safe. And again, as I look at all this, to me it's all safe other than, you know, muni bonds. I mean, you can, you know, you can go a little negative on muni bonds.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. So
depends on which one you buy.
Yeah.
They all come in different flavors.
Right. Okay, but it's safe.
That is the number one goal. We said it here last time we were here. That was our goal.
Yep.
First to protect the funds. So.
And since again, it's all we do. We know that that's critical and it's important to me as the owner that we safeguard the funds.
Yeah.
How far do you look ahead with your CDs? And like, you know, I see the maturity for some of your CDs, and so you got one, say, coming due in a month or two. I mean, does your computer model say, okay, this thing's coming due, we need to start looking for something that...
Yeah, not really, because what can happen is it takes about 2 weeks for a deal first to come online, and then by the time that it's ready to be sold, and especially in this environment, it could already be sold. So we kind of wait till a little bit closer to maturity, and then even then, we might take a CD maturity and put that in a U.S. Treasury note. So we don't necessarily, we're not necessarily looking to replace it dollar for dollar in the same asset class.
Okay.
So, and again, to that point, because rates move so quickly, is say a deal does come online, but they priced it 2 weeks ago, U.S. Treasury rates might be above that CD rate by the time it's actually available, which has happened a few times. So we look closer to maturity.
Okay.
All right.
Any other
yes.
questions?
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Yeah.
Most importantly, look what I got tonight. Oh, you got your library card.
I got my library card. I told you I would.
And so I brought all my stuff back. I was very excited about the dogs. That's Browser.
So we do talk to Maura on a periodic basis, so if there are any questions that come from you all, I know she'll get them to me, and I'll be happy to answer anything after that. So.
This is great.
Yeah.
It is.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for the time. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see, moving on here. participation. Fiscal officer's report, Beth, has everybody looked at it just to see?
Yes.
Any comments? What did you think of the PLF?
I liked it.
This continues.
Get better.
When's the bottom gonna fall out?
I don't know, that's what you guys were talking about all year long, and I keep thinking, okay.
You need to knock on wood or something, now that you've said it.
That's a paper, Chris. I think what before Mara, when she went out of town, she did say things were pretty much ordinary, so nothing out of the ordinary here.
Okay, then. Need a motion to approve the September 2022 bills paid?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Ms. Doss made the motion. Mr. Ramos seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, this is for Ms. Doss. We have the September 2nd, number 2, 2022 bills paid for the Anthem amount.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Ms. Kosika made the motion. Ms. Humphrey seconds. All in favor signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Abstained.
Okay, motion carries. All right, director's report.
Okay, I don't have much to add from what I sent you earlier, other than to give you an update on the Imagination Library. We are now at 49.1% enrollment of eligible children. We're up to 6,646 this afternoon, so that's exciting. I did attend a luncheon this weekend sponsored by Delta Chi. It's a local educator society, and they raised about close to $750 for adding to the Imagination Library in Claremont County. So we're excited about that.
Can you repeat the number again? I heard 49.1. 6,000.
6,646 is our current. It grows every day.
And decreases, right?
And it decreases once a month, yes. When they do their book ordering at the beginning of the month, they pull out all the children who have turned 5 years of age. I do want to remind you that the Williamsburg branch will be closed on October 20th because of parking lot. We're having the branch repaved, and that lot is small enough, and there's going to be big enough equipment that we want to make sure people are safe, so we are closing it that day. And also Union Township, just a reminder, will be closed for a couple of weeks, the end of October, the 28th, through November 12th for the flooring repairs there at that location. I want to make sure that I don't forget to mention our CED, wonderful department, has designed these really cute stickers, books, at the library, so maybe plenty to share with friends and family. Statistics are the same, the strategic plan goal report. Does anybody have any questions about that?
I think the statistics, I thought, I talked to you today about that a little bit. The door counts seem to, they've improved somewhat, and we just kind of project. If I take the door counts year to date, 270,948, and I project that out, that would project out to 361,264, and I compare that to the door count 2019, we'd be at 68, almost 70% of where we were. That's not bad. So I think we just, well, as we talked this afternoon, you got to take it out. We got to take it out to people. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. That'll improve.
The outreach, yes, and that goes along with the conference that I was at about outreach and really taking the library out into the community. I know Ernie, you've talked about that several times about how great we are at getting out into our community. We really are. The other thing we talked about several months back, I'm not sure how long ago, was circulation and when we changed our auto renewals, kind of reset our auto renewals once everybody was coming back into the library, that we should start seeing kind of a leveling off apples to apples comparison. So if you look at the comparison of the September 22 to September 21 CERC, with the totals, it's really a wash. We're about at the same place we were last September. So I think that's pretty good. And overall, in comparison to last year, the terminal circuit's up 4%. So people are coming in branches. So it's good news. Like to see it continue to grow. Just you got in your packet the finalized dates for the board meeting. So just a clean copy without the word draft on there. And that's really all I have.
Chris, do we have any information about the what's going to go on at the Union Township branch with the road construction and everything they were doing in time?
No, I haven't received any update. I'd have to, let me check on that before I speak out of turn. But we did have a meeting with the assessor to determine how much property we would lose, and we really aren't losing much because we've got that roadway in front of the branch, and so they're going to be coming, they're widening Glen Estee Withams Mill, and I don't think it's going to affect that roadway at all. So we should be fine. I'm not sure if we'll have to be closed at any time because of construction or not, but
that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, they haven't communicated that with us yet.
And then in that outreach thought process, I was real impressed with the engagements and depth and the things that Emily was doing. I mean, she's reaching out to the community, and I know she was doing a lot of work and we was doing as well.
Yes.
So looking for the different places, the different opportunities to put our foot in the door, if you will,
right.
And bring attention to the library. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, that's right. And we have the community engagement department programming staff is also gearing up for a lot more outreach now that our staffing levels are pretty much normalized and COVID has normalized, knock on wood again. They are going to be doing more engagement out in the communities as well as supporting in-house branch programming. So we'll see that grow.
Any other comments? Okay, thank you, Chris. Let's move on to new business. Goshen School to Library Trail.
So you should have received, this came in last minute on Tuesday. There's a little map in front of you with a red box. It shows the school property and it shows the library. I don't have a whole lot of details other than there's been a lot of ideas in the Goshen community about connecting the community to the library a bit better, from a sidewalk project to wayfinding signs and a possible library trail from the back of the high school property to the library. And recently, this concept was shared with the village township, the township administrator, and the school district. And the school district did move forward in approving exploratory. So no funds or anything like that have been dedicated to this project, but they do want the library board to give a thumbs up on moving forward. So there's three property owners involved, the schools, the township, and the library. And most of what's in green, is my understanding, is township property. Within that box, that red box, most of that is township property. And the school board met and they did give permission to explore the possibility of the library trail. And I'm just looking for the same to report back to the township that our board has given approval to move forward with the possibility of creating this trail. That we're in support of that. And I would say yes, whatever we could do to explore the concept, and then they'll come back to us with some more information.
Chris, could I have the clip note version of this, since I missed last month, and what are they attempting to do?
So this was just brought to my attention Tuesday. But the community members, and I guess it was a teacher who brought it up with the school board and with the township administrator, and I would have had Lisa Breithoff, the branch manager, here to talk more about it, but she's out of town right now. So the proposal is to create a trail that connects the school to the library. So they would be able to bring class visits. And what Lisa's saying is what her teachers are saying is they would actually be walking over and visiting the library by taking the children over on the trail, because they have very few busing and allowing them to take field trips on the buses. So they would utilize the trail to walk over to the library. And
so this would be a paved trail?
I don't know if it's paved or not. I would assume, but I think that's where we are. I have very few details other than we're interested in.
So the question is, can the trail be placed on our property, or are we in favor of that?
Yes, I think so. We're just exploring the concept.
Are we okaying the project to be mapped out, if you will, and not necessarily giving formal final approval to anything they come up with?
Exploratory?
Yeah, just investigative.
Yeah, exploratory.
It's hard to approve anything that you...
It's their property, and it's from the school, and it's access to ours, no different than St. Elizabeth Ann Seton or Mulberry, right there, in order to get access outside of a main thoroughfare, which would be dangerous, needless to say. So they're looking, I'm guessing, at maybe all four schools, but the Goshen High School is across the street. The rest of them all are all within that conglomerate right there to the library, so. And then it's maintenance of it, and if they're, you know, the township is in agreement with it, and the school, we have no problem with them having access to the building. We applaud that.
Yes,
you know?
And the more we can drive access, improve access and drive visits from the school to the library, the better.
I'm personally not looking at this point in time, not knowing the details, and as you said, this is a nouveau to you, spending any money in order to do that.
Right.
It's their property, so they would give the access. It's the school that would give the authority to do it. So it's those two entities, which are both political subdivisions, as we are. So it's three political subdivisions looking to improve what? The reading rate, or the resource rate, or the community rate in a safe environment?
Mm-hmm. Have to improve access. So they're looking for just the board to approve moving forward with exploratory, just permission to look into the possibility of the trail connecting school property to the library.
Approve the exploratory look at this project.
Okay, Mr. Humphrey makes the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Ramos seconds. All in favor, signify by aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Tell them to go forward and take a look.
I will, and we'll have Lisa here to kind of give us updates as to what exactly this means and who's going to be responsible, the township or the school, et cetera. So, more information.
And increase traffic to that branch as well. You know, well staffed for that.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Okay. Okay, item two, resolution 2022-31, need a motion for acceptance of gifts to the library.
So moved.
Ms. Cassini makes the motion.
Second.
Ms. Doss seconds the motion. All in favor, signify by aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries.
I have a point of order. Why is it we can't vote on the minutes of September?
Because the individuals that attended that meeting is not here, so it was...
But there are a number of us here that were there.
Is not there four or more?
Not four.
No, but we have a quorum, and we can vote, and we have some abstain. Abstain goes with the majority, so I don't see why we can't...
So Judy and Ernie were absent from the September meeting, so that just leaves three of you.
I understand that.
Yeah, okay.
But we have a quorum. It would seem like we could vote on it. They would need to abstain. The other three of us, if we are so minded, could approve it, and we could go on.
Is there any particular reason you didn't do that for the August 15th minutes?
Because we didn't have a quorum.
It's the same issue?
Yeah.
Yes.
We didn't have a quorum. We did have a quorum. I don't know why we didn't do it.
I'm just asking.
It could be the same thing. Yes.
I'm just asking.
Could be the same thing.
So my understanding is that if you didn't attend the meeting that the minutes reflect, that you would not vote to approve.
But you can abstain.
You would
abstain. The other three of us could vote yes, and they would be approved based on that. It's just a thought. We could research it with the attorneys and see what they say.
Let's leave it the way it is now.
I mean, it isn't important to do it now. It's just a point of order, so.
I think the past experience has been we wanted a majority of the board members who attended to approve the minutes.
And given you had a 13-minute meeting last month, I think it would be important to have those people here.
Whatever, we could check it out later.
Yeah, we will check it out.
Check it out.
I saw that. It was one of your more
efficient.
Uh-huh, yes.
Very
effective. Yes.
That's another point of order. I was so excited about voting to abstain. I was thinking that I was voting on September 19th, which is, I was not here, but I was here on August the 15th, so I'd like to change my abstention to the year.
I didn't hear you abstain on the 15th.
Well, I think you did about the same time.
Oh, okay.
And as we were going through the minutes, I said, you're too excited to jump up with an abstention.
Because I think it was Tricia and I who were not here for August. Is that correct?
Right, that's
okay.
Correct.
And then September.
Judy wasn't here.
Was Judy and you were. Yeah, so that's why.
Let's let it stand and extend the meeting minutes until next month, and I'll find out from.
That's fine. That's all I ask for.
What the point of order is on that.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. Resolution 2022-32, disposal of unneeded or obsolete library inventory.
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Trumphrey makes the motion. Ms. Doss seconds. We need a roll call vote.
Mr. Cardinal?
Yes.
Ms. Doss?
Yes.
Ms. Kosica?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
The motion carries. Am I going to have anybody abstain for adjournment?
Obviously, we weren't as efficient as we were, but we did have the meeting that I required or requested with new investment people, and that was very interesting, and the information that they prepared.
You have the minutes for the agenda?
Thumbs up if you can use that.
Yeah.
To say, okay.
I'm like, wait, you've got it.
How do we reflect a thumbs up? How do we do that?
I'm just telling you, these things that you hear that are no longer acceptable or adverse meaning.
I think thumbs up.
Yeah, works real paper. It works for most of us anyway.
Fingers up. Hands on the fingers.
Just the thumbs.
Okay, so we did have a motion, and you did have a second, is that right? You made the motion?
What is it to adjourn?
To adjourn.
I just heard you say, are you going to have any abstentions? Okay. Did you make the one in your head?
Okay.
We made a motion and seconded, and then he asked if there were any abstentions to adjourn.
Before we even had the motion?
I missed it.
Okay, Jen, are you doing it?
I will make a motion.
Second.
Okay.
The time is
18:49.